Welcome to Year 2 of the Funding Love Podcast. I'm Mallory Elrod.
And I'm Caitlin Duckworth. We are two adoptive moms that seek to love, support, and elevate all corners of the adoption triad, including adoptive families, adoptees, and birth parents.
We do that through honest conversation with both expert and everyday voices about all things adoption and more, all while running our nonprofit, Funding Love.
We create post-adoption experiences that strengthen bonds, build community, and restore people.
We are Funding Love.
The podcast. Welcome to episode 98 of the Funding Love Podcast. This is your co-host, Kate. Today we have our sweet friend and returning guest, Katie Brown, with us. Katie is a mom to Theo. Theo is her son that her and her hubby Garrett welcomed home via adoption. She is also a travel agent and, truthfully, just a bright light in this world. We are so grateful she has yet again joined us on the podcast. And today we are in part two of our Adoption Is series. And today we're going to tackle Adoption Is Scary. You know, we always say we want to be real and honest on this show, and today is just that. I hope y'all enjoy. Let's take a listen. Welcome back to the Funding Love Podcast, episode 98. We have our friend Katie Brown with us. Katie, welcome to the podcast again.
Hi, friends. Thank you so much for having me back again. I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, this is so fun. I don't know. I feel like maybe your third time on. Third or fourth time?
I think so. Lucky third. That's not a saying.
Lucky number three.
Something that was the same. That's it.
No, listen, we're so grateful. I mean, you are an adoptive mom like we are. So I feel like there's a lot of shared feelings we have about things, and especially on this series that we're doing, which is the series is Adoption Is. And then this one is Adoption Is Scary. And I think there's a lot that we can pull from as adoptive parents that we don't often talk about. Is the fears that we do have for our child, for just so many parts of adoption that we don't give a lot of weight to sometimes. I feel like at least I try to say like, well, I shouldn't be scared about this because I have the child with me, or I shouldn't be scared about this because there's a different perspective on this side. Or so you try to like stuff your fears in a little bit when really they're there. And I think this is a safe space amongst the three of us to kind of have that conversation. And, you know, just to give a disclaimer, what we talk about here and the things that we're going to say are our feelings, are our experiences. They're not a blanket statement. We're not even disqualifying the feelings of other people, other, you know, birth moms, adoptees. So this is just us kind of having a real conversation about things that we feel that are real. And I think a lot of adoptive parents would agree.
I agree. Yeah. And I feel like, especially as adoptive moms that really, truly try to be informed and educated and compassionate and see everything from every angle, a lot of times we stifle and push down our own thoughts, feelings, processes, just to try to be sensitive to the other, you know, corners of the triad. But then that never gives our own emotions the place to process and live for a moment, even if we know the answer to the flip side, because we're, you know, quote unquote educated, that doesn't mean that our feelings aren't valid or real when we feel them.
I think guilt is what creeps in. You're like, oh, I feel guilty for even feeling that or even thinking that or having that thought. We were going to talk about a lot of things on this, but guilt, I think, is the feeling that tries to creep in there. You're like, ooh, I shouldn't feel
or,
that.
Or you know, the prejudgment too. The prejudgment of already knowing, oh, well, this is what they would say to me if I said that out loud. I already know what they're going to say to me. They would say this, that, and the other. You get the baby. When you should be happy. Shut up.
Yeah. No, true. Yeah. And yes, true. But let's talk about some fears, like, you know, that we've kind of thought about this a little bit, some fears that are common, like the unknowns of an unfinalized adoption. Like that's early on, whether you are adopting via foster care and there are so much back and forth or so much unknown there, which is a real true fear. Also, you know, if you have an infant, you bring home domestic adoption and you don't necessarily know, because as the adoptive parents and, you know, being kind of new for the second time around, having an infant from adoption and things aren't finalized yet, you're kind of in the dark about things until you suddenly get notice. Okay, termination of parental rights has been done. Let's schedule a final hearing. But before that, you don't really know what's happening. Like there's just kind of a darkness, unless you reach out and then like, oh yeah, there's this, but we don't really know either because we're waiting on the attorney. So there's just so much I feel like you don't know, and you're just sitting there waiting to hear. And is it going as planned or is it not going as planned? You know, the Hallmark movie fear of, you know, like the somebody in the birth family showing themselves suddenly and fighting for this child that you have had in your home for months now for bonding. Like, that is a fear. Not to say that that even happens anymore, but I do think it can. I do think it can, because there is biological family does win out a lot in instances where I say most of the time that's the right thing, but a lot of times it's also not. So I don't know if you have anything to say about that.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all felt this, and maybe I know we all had different parenting stories, but like, I felt like I never had any of those fears that my friends had about, like, okay, do y'all have those, like, see those owlet things that it's like you put on their feet and you check their breathing? Like, I never had any fear about him staying alive. I think it was because all of my fear was used towards like the legal system, right? So I was like, he'll be okay. And because all of my fears were towards other things in the system that were completely out of my control, that I was like not even concerned about. I had friends that were like, are you afraid of him being allergic to peanut butter? And I was like
no.
No. I wasn't. Like, I was afraid that he wasn't going to come home with us. Like, that was where my fears went. And I feel like for us particularly, we lived out some of those fears at the beginning of our process, because we had three adoptions that were not finalized, so did not end the way we wanted them to. And so by the time that we jumped in with Theo and had that, all the legal things for us because of COVID, Caitlin, I know when y'all brought Libby home, it was COVID too. Ours was so extended. We didn't get a birth certificate for almost 2 years. Like, he was almost two by the time we finally had a birth certificate for him, that I was just like, I was like enrolling this random child into school that I had to be like, I promise he's a real person.
Yes.
The state of Louisiana is just taking years and years and years.
Yes.
That you almost feel like you have these, like all these balls up in the air that are so out of your control. And I know that's the same for parenting in general, right? But it's just something about the legal system just adds an extra scariness.
It's an extra layer. So yeah. I want to ask you, Katie, did your fears and did adoption feel more and more scary after each finalization that didn't go through? Like your first one, were you totally naive, and then it got scary, and then it got scarier, and then it got scarier?
So naive. Like, you jump in, I jumped in just being like hopeful and wonderful. And I really jumped into like the adoption world on Instagram and like made a lot of friends that way, and like still have a lot of connections that way. But like, so I'd heard those stories, but you're like, that won't happen to us. And so, I mean, we knew each other at the time. Like, I told the first one, we told the world, we were posting on Instagram, whatever, everyone knew. I was like a children's pastor at the time, and children were bringing me like dimes in a Ziploc baggie because they were like, to buy your baby a gift. I mean, it was like the most tender,
so
precious.
Sweet.
And then we had to turn around and be like, JK. So each time I kind of felt like the boy that was crying wolf, you know, like, and until the last time we literally didn't tell anyone.
Anybody.
Until we had paperwork in our hand. The lawyer was like, no, this is happening. You can tell people. It was like my family and our works, because we had to go live in New Orleans for 3 months.
Yeah.
That's the only people that knew, because I was like, we're not doing this again. I'm afraid to tell people. Just kidding. One more time.
No, you're right. That is a fear. And I would say that I didn't even recognize. I mean, I did know that. So we had, you know, a year ago, the adoption that almost was and then wasn't, right? And then jumping back in now with our second, there was so much hesitancy. Because of fear. Now, I was a little bit more open, but talking about not telling anybody, that is where my husband was. He's like, we are not telling anybody, because I don't want to go back and have to tell them again that it didn't happen and then feel that all over. So he just really kind of almost pretended it wasn't happening for him. Like, he was just like, I don't really believe it either. So I'm just going to kind of coast until it is real. And then we have the baby home, because it felt very scary to him. And I can't imagine doing that three times, because
that's kind of how we live towards the end. And I kind of live my life motto, which is probably not great, is low expectations, high joy, right? Like, when the expectations are low, then the joy is high, no matter what. And so with the last one, I was like, well, maybe I'm just driving to New Orleans to get a beignet, you know, like that's right. how this is going to go. And I just had to pretend that it wasn't going to happen until confirmation. And so even when it was like 98% sure it was happening and we just needed a signature, I was still like, still not my kid, still yeah, not right. mine yet. Because yeah. even though we were the ones in the hospital the whole time, because he was in the NICU, I was like, still not my kid because I'm not ready to get connected.
It feels like an unfair thing because you're like, I'm here. I've been asked to be here. So I'm here and I want to love this child so much because I was asked to be here. Like I was chosen mm-hmm. to be here. So it's like a twisted thing. I was asked to be here. I'm chosen to be here, but it's still not, maybe not going to happen. So it's like, you're like, I want to get in, but I don't want to get in. I'm supposed mm-hmm. to be here. It's like,
I'll have my toes in the water.
Yeah.
We won't go
yeah.
in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, you listen. Need to be here, but then you need to be happy no matter what happens.
Right. Yeah. And you need to be okay. Yes. You need to be right. okay. If yeah. Listen, that's why we say adoption is really not for the faint of heart, and it's not as easy peasy, lemon squeezy as people mm-mm. see it,
no,
you know,
absolutely
from the images.
Not.
It really isn't. So another fear that like I have is we have an open relationship with both of our daughters' birth moms, different birth moms, but we have an open relationship. But I do have a fear that relationship could change, whether it be birth mother pulls back or we have to make that hard decision to separate that relationship that we currently have because of things in life that happens to her or her, whatever her yeah. circumstances, whether it be death, honestly, jail,
yes.
drugs, whatever it is. And the fear is that I value that relationship and I want my children to have that relationship and I want them to have that openness and for to know that that could happen where you have to pull back. You're like, wow, now they're missing something. So that is mm-hmm. a fear for me. Mm-hmm. I know Katie.
Or even she well. Pulls back and then you
Correct.
Have to explain
yeah.
that to your child.
Correct.
Or, you know, we did have Ashley right. on a few weeks ago and she talked about how her daughter's birth mom is deceased and having mm-hmm. to explain that to her daughter. That's mm-hmm. just hard. Those are hard mm-hmm. things to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our situation is a little more complicated. Theo's birth mom has decided at one point right now she's not ready for a relationship and might not mm-hmm. ever be. And so that is something that I wrestle with of like, how am I going to answer those questions for him? Mm. And what does that look like? And also, is that selfish of me that sometimes that makes it easier? Because I think a fear that a lot of time adoptive parents don't talk about and is a reality is that there's going to be one day, like I know he is, I'm just prepping myself that he's going to look at me and be like, you're not my mom. Like, don't tell me what to do or whatever snotty mm-hmm. thing he says in the moment, you know? And like, there's always that fear of, well, that is going to suck. And to also that you're like, if they have a really open relationship, what if he likes her more? Because let's be honest, it probably would be times that he would like her more because she's not parenting him every day. We all like sure. the people that aren't parenting him every, you know, ourselves every day more. I think those are like fears when it comes with open adoption that I think get in our insecurities of parents of like, but what if they mm. love them more? What if mm. they like them more?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a natural thing that we don't really talk about, that there is
You're
fear
right.
that
yeah,
comes
right.
with sharing that title.
That is something that I feel like people ask me a lot on the outside. Mm-hmm. I've had family members
Same.
Say that. What if you do all the work of raising him and then when he grows up, he just wants to go be with her and never talk to you again? You know what? All of my kids could do that. So I guess
yeah.
it could be a fear of parenting any child. But I mean, it is a valid fear. It's just something you have to kind of wrestle with in your head and justify and say it's all going to be worth it. And pray that the relationship that you cultivate with them isn't going to be like that, where they never want to speak to you again. Because we know that most adoptees that have, you know, relationships with their birth families and their adoptive families, they say the love is there for both of them. They're not mm-hmm. trying to choose which one they love more. But it is a fear. And we even said 2 weeks ago on our Adoption is Messy podcast, I admitted what you said before about with her not mm-hmm. wanting openness right now, it makes it a little bit easier. And I talk about how mm-hmm. sometimes with the openness, I'm really kind of selfish. And I'm like, it would be so much easier if I didn't have to think about, you know, telling her every little thing he does, or it's his birthday and I need to go plan a vacation around seeing her, or
Yeah.
it's her birthday, and so I feel like we need to go plan a vacation around seeing her, or you know, the things that you have to do. It's just like, can I just not do
Can I just
like
have
all
a
my
birthday
other
party for my,
kids'
yes,
birthdays where we just
right.
do the birthday, we make the pancakes, and we're done? Like, so that is like a little added layer there just of adoption. Like, it's so full of layers. As Shrek would say, it's an onion.
Yes, it is. No, I mean, and the fear of like as your child gets older and they have more of that like decision-making ability and they have the two different relationships and they're like, well, you're being mean to me. I like her better now. That whole fear, or even when they turn
Before
18 and
frontal
you,
lobes are developed.
yeah, whatever it is. I mean, just that fear is like where I think, Katie, you've mentioned this or I've seen you on Instagram write something, or maybe we've had this conversation of like, this is like what I try to do is like have the eternal perspective of like, this is the Lord has given me this child to raise. Like, this child is not mine. Child is the Lord's, and I am here to do this duty because this is where he has me and this is what he's called me to do as the works
Stewarding
here,
them.
stewarding them. Yes. So we steward them to the best of our abilities, led by the Lord. And whatever happens, it happens, I guess, because it's you're doing it eternal perspective. And it's so hard to do when you actually have your own human feelings of like, well, that's gonna hurt, you know? But each day, I guess you got to make that conscious decision and reminder, or else it'll be hard.
This is so random, but this is how I try to operate in parenthood in general, and this is how I'm trying to like operate when it, parenting adoptive parent. Yesterday we were at Target and Theo was like I shot ahead of me, like in front. He wanted to like run down the aisle and I was like, sounds good. He's like 5 feet ahead of me, and the people's faces were like, whose kid is that? Whose kid is that? And I'd be like, he's mine, I can see him. Like, and I tried to tell them, like, I tried to give him his space to explore as long as he's in my eye shot and I'm watching him. This is how he's got to figure it out. And I'm trying to do that same thing with adoption of like, I got to give him his space to feel it out. He's going to have to give him space because there are going to be days that he's going to have questions. But then, like, it's my job to be there and be prepared to have these conversations with him when he's ready. And that's how we have to operate, I feel like, in parenting. Because if we hover, they're not going to want to have these conversations with us either. If we're completely disconnected, that's not good. But to give them their own space as little people figuring out the world, and this is just part of their world that they're going to have to figure out, that's different for them, is that they have this added element of adoption. And so we just have to be like present to help them do that.
And I think that is also a scary part of being an adoptive mom is, am I going to screw this up? We already know that there's so many layers of trauma to adoption, regardless of when you were placed. Am I just going to perpetuate that? Am I the trauma? It's like, I don't want to be the drama or the trauma.
I mean, and right now, you know, Libby's only four and the little one's still an infant, so like there's so much that's easy about talking about adoption right now. It's very simple, at least that's the way we keep it in conversation. There's no secrets or anything, but it's just a casual, simple, easy conversation. She knows all that she knows that's age appropriate. But like, I often think to myself, okay, so as she gets older and knowing my daughter's personality, I can see the moments because there's just such strong feelings of joy and everything's great and then everything sucks, you know, everything. So I can just see her saying, you know, like, I hate you, I didn't choose you. And you're like, oh, like that is such a fear of mine. And how am I going to navigate that? Am I equipped to navigate this with them? Like, do I have what it takes to navigate that and help them to help her find her identity in her story? Like, I just, you know, there's like so much that I don't feel ready for. Like, I don't know what to do, and it hasn't even happened yet. But I think about that because that's her personality.
Is that her personality or is that being four? Because I've got the same personality, but we've talked about this, Kim. We
No,
are
she's
similar
always
hearts.
half everything is joyful until like it's the other strong feelings on the other
Same,
side.
right?
Like
Well,
for me,
that's
I'm pretty much like this. Like I really am. Like I feel the things, but I'm pretty much like, you know, right here on this steady line. I mean, I know that's being an adult, but with her emotions and the way she feels things, you're right. It could just being four, but I think it's her.
I think that it's
No.
personality too, because Lorelai is the same way in her
Yeah.
personality. And we're going to have an episode coming up about that. So stay
Yeah, we are.
tuned. We're going to
Yeah.
have a whole episode about adoption and the Enneagram. So that's going to be a really fun
Oh,
conversation.
I love that. I can already identify my man. I'm like, look at.
Yeah.
How did we get this one? I think that there's so much about, I think just parenting in general that we don't talk about, that we could live in that fear so often. And Garrett and I make a joke that we are saving for Theo's therapy fund, not for his college fund, because like we know we're going to mess him up. Like,
yeah,
we all have things. Like, I had the best mom in the world, and there are still things that I'm like, she did not do that right. And she didn't, you know? And like, I just have to choose to believe that I'm like, okay, what do I want him to know about who he is and how he is loved? And like, how do we, what can we do? If he knows that, then I feel good about the rest. And so like, for me, I'm like, does he know that, like, that we love him, that God loves him, and that his birth family loves him? And for us right now, I'm like,
that's it.
Mm-hmm. That's enough. Mm-hmm. And like, the things we mess up, we're going to mess them up. Mm-hmm. But I also think there's grace in knowing we've never done this before. We've never parented. And guess what? They've never been a kid before. So we're all figuring it out at the same time. Mm-hmm. I feel like I, at least for myself, I feel myself sometimes get bogged down with the weight that adoption is, that sometimes I just forget to be like, but you're also just parenting a 3-year-old,
right?
And with different layers, just in the same way, if Theo was, I don't know, had special needs, like, sure, I'd be parenting him differently than I would without a kid with special needs. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I just think about like, I have to give myself grace and I'm not going to get it right. And that makes it feel a lot.
Yeah,
sure. A lot easier sometimes of just doing your best.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, Mal, we talked about this as we were preparing for this episode. Because there's an adoption layer, the pressure and the need to feel like we have to be supermom, and we have to be supermom for their birth mom, for their birth family. I have to get it right. I want to make sure that she sees that I'm doing the best job and this child's going to be the best child, and I'm giving this child everything that I promised, and I can't screw up, because if there's something that I screw up, then it's my fault. And she, you know, trusted me with this, her child. And like, so that fear is there. And I don't know, that is something that I feel like it's a hold it up to another standard. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Mallory, do you feel that way? Different like pressures with your biological kids and with your adopted son?
Honestly, I feel like I do. I feel like there is a weightier job there for me. Yes, to do like what she said, like make her proud, make himself proud, feel like she did make the right choice and that she doesn't feel regret. Like, I feel like that's a burden that I will carry sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Can I also flip the script though and say that I worry about him more, or circumstances that could happen to him more because of his adoption, and the fear of having to tell her that something happened to him?
Oh my gosh, I know.
Like,
yes.
I don't want any of my children to be running through a parking lot and get hit by a car, but I especially don't want him running through a parking lot and getting hit by a car, because it's two moms that are mourning. It's my fault that two moms are mourning. You know, it's all of those layers. That is definitely a fear that I have verbalized to my husband before. I've verbalized to some of my closest friends of, I'm not to trying to add different weight to anybody's getting hurt, or, you know what I mean?
Right.
If someone breaks an arm, I'm going to feel awful about any of them. But there's this extra layer of, he broke an arm.
Yeah. What is she going to think of me when I tell her? Like, did I not do a good enough job? Yeah.
Correct.
I feel more weight like to Garrett and I's marriage. Cause like, sometimes I'm like, what would happen if, I mean, things happen, right? God forbid you get a divorce. And I'm like, she chose.
I know.
Two parents, right?
Yes.
And so I think about that a lot of, obviously that's not the goal, right? That's not my end goal, like in a divorce. But like, if like something happens, what, I don't know, God forbid, we go to foreclosure of our house. I don't know. I'm just thinking like,
right. Life random happens.
Things.
Yes.
Life happens that I'm like, she chose someone with a steady income that, I even thought about this. I mean, when I changed careers, like when she chose us, I was a like children's pastor. Like, I worked at a church. That was kind of part of the, she said part of the things that she thought that she liked about us. And not too long after we adopted, like, I shifted careers completely and moved from the city that we adopted him in to move back closer to my dad. And like, I think about that sometimes of like, I wonder how that feels on her end of, I made all these decisions and now
You know, it's
it's
so
different.
funny.
It's
No,
all
I,
changed.
it's so funny.
Yes.
I felt the same way because Libby's birth mom shared that with me, that the reason that she felt like drawn to us is because she's always wanted to be a nurse. And then I was a nurse and she loved that. And then
you quit nursing.
Yes. So I was like, should I tell her? Like, do I tell her I quit nursing or she'll just find it out later? Like, I don't know. I don't want her to think less of me now that I've made a career change or like, you know, and it's so silly because like her life is changing and she's evolving. So we got to expect that we're going to change and evolve. That's just a connection point for us. It's not like a forever thing, but it does feel that way. Katie, you're like, oh my gosh, am I now lesser than to her for than I was before? I know it's wild. It's a little bit kind of silly to be honest, but it is true. It's a fear.
It's so layered with fear that I think we just have to, like, ultimately, as believers, because the three of us are, like, we can't live in the fear. So there has to be like some resolution to this. Adoption is scary, of us being able to hand it over to the Lord and not make decisions, fear-based decisions.
Like we talk about this a lot, the importance of maintaining your child's like culture that they were born into, or their birth family's culture.
Yeah.
And I do think that that's very important. I do. I think that that is very important for them in their identity journey as they grow up and figure themselves out and understand who they are, where they came from, all of that. But there's so much, there's a part of me that also thinks, okay, so we have a relationship. I wish we had a relationship with Libby's entire birth family, but we don't. We just with her birth mom. That's just the way that it is right now. I guess things could change. So we don't know, you know, the other parts of that. So, but her birth mom's heritage is like me, a white American. Okay. Mm-hmm. But her birth father's side is more cultural or a different culture. And I'm like, okay, there's no relationship between the birth mom and birth dad. And there's no relationship with us. Like, I don't know where, what's my responsibility then? Because if she was with her birth mom, I doubt there'd be any maintaining of that culture because that's not there. So where does the responsibility fall on me? And that seems like a lot and heavy. You know what I mean? Like, like, and then if I don't do that, am I failing? But really, I don't think anybody really cares.
It goes back to that burden of an adoptive mom needs to be super mom. You're doing things that maybe wouldn't be even done if they had been raised by their biological family.
Exactly. I'm like, so what am I, I'm trying really hard. And this thought is like on me every like birthday that passes. I'm like, oh my gosh, am I doing this? But then I'm like, nobody else talks about it. Her birth mom doesn't talk about it. Nobody does. So I'm like, maybe I just wait until she asks. I don't know, because it feels very uncomfortable for me to like force something. You know what I mean? I don't want to do her a disservice. So anyways, that's just a thought I had.
And we don't know really much about, I mean, I know some of Theo's birth mom side, but again, we don't like have that relationship right now. And so I'm like, and I don't know anything about your birth dad side. And that brings up for me, I get a little neurotic about fears when it comes to like the doctor, that I'm like, they ask about family history and I'm like, I don't know. And I can't tell you. And like, this is all I can tell you. And then I could go down that of like, do we need to do genetic testing? And Garrett is like, would we do genetic testing if knowing our family history, would we do it? And I'm like, no, I would just let it ride and figure out. Right. Cause he's three and we can't go down that. And then I feel like I have to make up for the things that I don't know. So like Theo was born in New Orleans. We love New Orleans. So we take him back every year. But I'm like, am I pushing too hard on this New Orleans thing? Because it's all I know. So I'm like, I'm going to hold on to this one piece of your history that I really
That's
know.
Sweet, though. I like that y'all do that.
You're like, I don't know if anybody in your biological family liked gumbo, but by goodness, you're going to eat it.
Right. You're going to love some biggies.
You're going to have a crawfish boil, and I don't care if you like it.
Right. I mean, honestly, he thinks like Disney's probably where he's from, really. But I'm like,
same.
You're going to be from New Orleans. And then sometimes I'm like, do I harp on that too much? I don't know, but it's all we know. And that's part of your birth story for us. Sure. So like, let's roll. Yes. But I am afraid when he starts to ask those questions, and not afraid because I know I'll have to say, I don't know. I don't know that part about you. And I could tell you everything else about you. I can tell you about how much you puked when you were a baby and what passies you liked, but I can't tell you anything about your genetic makeup. And that's scary to talk about.
But you listen, I think we're all doing, the fact that we are all having this conversation, to be honest with you, and expressing all of these things shows an immense amount of care that we each have about doing it right. And I think I need to adopt more of what you are talking about, Katie, of like, just give myself grace. Like, I'm not only am I, I'm an adoptive parent, but I'm also just a parent. Like, I'm going to parent this child, and there's layers to every child's story, whether it be their, you know, this, our children are adopted, or, you know, and so that's part of their story. It could be special needs. It could be whatever it is. And we're going to parent through that as a part of their story, instead of putting so much pressure on ourselves. And I think if we were to ask our children's birth mothers and like be honest about these fears that we have with them about like, listen, I want to get it right for you. I want to be perfect for you. They would say, oh my gosh, we love you the way that you are. You're doing a great, I think they would probably more than likely say that and say, listen, they'll probably say, I have a fear that I'm not good enough for you. Like, I think I think it's a mutual feeling we have towards each other that we all just need to chill.
Sometimes I think about like 20 years down the road or whatever, when Theo like describes himself, how he will describe himself. And to me, I don't want I'm adopted to be the first thing that comes out of his mouth, which I think that's a beautiful part of his story. I want it to be one of the things, but like when he's or his future wife is describing him, I don't want the first thing that she's like, the one reason I love him is because he's adopted, right? Like, that's going to be a beautiful part of his story, but I want him to describe himself as like, I like, he's a man of God, like he's a man of character. Like, so I'm like, I want to put my focus on those things and then also, but give more weight to that and less pressure on myself of the adoptive piece, because that is a beautiful part of his story. But if I'm trying to do all these other things right, I'm going to get that part right too. And so like, I guess I just don't want him to initially that always be how he identifies himself, because that's just such a small part of his story, even though it's a huge part of our family's story. And so I always try to think about that, of like, what, how is he going to think of himself as a grown man, and how are we pouring into that? And adoption is just a piece of that story, and how can we honor that too?
No, I think that's great. And I've heard it said, like, when you're talking adoption language, to say like, I was adopted, not I am adopted, because it's not who you are.
Yeah.
It's something that happened to you in your life, and it's part of your story. So it's like, I was, not I am, you know. I think that's kind of good in helping, you know, them understand.
I love when I meet like grown adoptees. Like, one of my best friend's husband is adopted. I didn't know that about him didn't know that about him for like months. And I was like, what did your parents do to like, you know, I was like asking him all these questions, and he's our age, and he was like, they like loved me like a parent, and
they never kept out.
It. Yeah, they like never kept it hidden that I was adopted, and they treated me like my siblings and loved me well. And it gave me such a peace to like hear a grown adoptee saying that, like, it wasn't all of these extra special things. It was the kind of parents that they were that made it so. It wasn't like he remembered the time that he took him to an adoption seminar and did whatever. You know, it was like, that they loved him just as who he was, and that's a piece of his story. And that gave me a lot of like peace, being like, okay, it doesn't have to be this huge complicated thing. It's about loving our kids for who they are and where they're at, and telling them that part of their story.
Absolutely. Gosh. And I think for a lot of adopted parents that are listening that have maybe thought of these scary things or felt these scary feelings, I think a lot of it goes to show too. Say it out loud. I think that saying your fears out loud actually takes a lot of power away from them. Say them to someone who, you know, you trust, and be able to process that with them, and find community like the three of us. If we're having some really crazy, scary thought, I know that I could text either of you girls anytime and be like, I'm having this crazy, weird thought. Can you just like tell me that it's valid, but also really stupid and silly, and like help talk me through it? So, you know, adoption is scary, but we have each other, and you know, we have
I think
too.
I do. Yes. And I do think, like, looking back, even just 20, 30 minutes, the way this conversation started about talking about the real fears, and then the way that Katie just wrapped it up, it was like a therapy session. It was like, we start out with all of our fears, and then we just talk it out and figure it out by the end of it ourselves, because we're like, listen, we just got to give ourselves grace. We got to give everybody grace in this and realize that we're just parenting and we're going to mess up. Blah, blah, blah. So yeah, we basically, you know, solved our problems.
Yeah.
Man, keep the therapy session yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, this was a great conversation and we're so grateful always, Katie, to have you on.
Thanks for always having me back.
Yes, absolutely. And, but before we wrap up, we like to end every Funding Love podcast episode with a fun little question, because since we are Funding Love, what are you loving right now, Katie? A show, a book, whatever it is in this season of
hobby.
Life.
Like,
what is it, a hobby that you're loving?
Okay, y'all, I've really gotten, this is so ridiculous, I've really gotten into my eyebrow game.
And oh, yes.
I have very aggressive eyebrows, right? They're huge. But I was like, I want to own this. And I got some eyebrow glue and I started to go into where people like laminate their eyebrows. And I'm feeling like one of the youths, you know.
You're on
I'm
trend. Feeling, you are on trend.
I'm feeling on trend. Yeah. So I'm really loving my new eyebrow game recently.
Love it.
Take care of yourself. Loving your eyebrows. I love it. Well, thank you, Katie. And this was a great conversation. And we can't wait for our listeners to hear this and hopefully get something valuable from this. So we love you. We hope you come back. And thank you, listeners, for tuning into this episode of the Funding Love Podcast. We'll see y'all next week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Funding Love Podcast. Our Funding Love Garden Gala is coming up this April 26th, 2024, and we want you to attend. Tables and tickets are on sale now at fundinglove.com/gala, and we hope to see you there. At Funding Love, we create post-adoption experiences that strengthen bonds, build community, and restore people. And when you partner with us, whether that is giving online, signing up to become a monthly donor, or simply buying merchandise from our shop, you are Funding Love.